So we have a lot of Bible this evening. I know Judith probably felt that having just read the Hebrew scripture lesson for this evening, which was pretty long. But actually, most of the Book of Common Prayer service, apart from the collects and the creed, are direct quotes of biblical texts. Even the versicles and responses, those bits like, "O Lord, open thou our lips," they come directly from the Psalms. The bits that change week by week, this short address, well, I hope it's different week by week, the prayers of intercession, the hymns, anthems, and other music, they may also find their inspiration in scripture passages, but not necessarily so. And then, of course, we have the readings and the Psalms set for today. More Bible, and they're the bits about which I'm expected to offer some thoughts here and now. And the reason I've offered this brief preamble this evening is that sometimes Bible passages, through whichever way we pick them up, become very familiar to us through popular culture, through recitation in liturgy, through our upbringing if we were raised in a church tradition, even through the language that we use every day. So much so that these things get absorbed and we don't particularly think about the why behind many of these phrases and stories, particularly when they contain, as does today's gospel reading, a miracle story, something fantastical, irrational, and to many of us, unbelievable. But these are not stories or events to be explained away or rationalized or given alternative ways of being. For instance, the attempts by some scholars to claim that Jesus walking on the water could be better translated as walking along the water, by the water. The text, however, doesn't actually say that. It says there was a storm, the wind was up, and Jesus walked upon the water, stilled the storm, and got into the boat. So if you are one of those who likes to rationalize the miracles, it's easier just to move on and ignore this story. If you're a biblical literalist, then the meaning of this event is found in its celebration of the miraculous and awesome power of Jesus, and that it actually happened as written. But what of those of us who seek to be informed, progressive, liberal in our outlook, yet recognize the importance of our scriptures informing our spiritual story as the church and as people of faith? What about those of us who neither want to walk on by or literalize this story? We look deeper and we find what the meaning might be for us in this story, or the meaning that the writers might have been trying to share, or a mix of both. I've said before that all of our scripture, all of it, can be taken as metaphor and poetry. We don't have to literalize any of it, even the bits that claims or seems to be historical. In fact, I'd say that if we take much or most of our Bible literally, we are missing out on the depths of meaning that we find within the stories and the poetry, images and symbolism of our scriptures. These stories are so much more than just literal chronicles of historical events, even though many of them may be rooted in and reflective of actual events. And the other side of seeing these stories as metaphor, parable, poetic expression is to get to see different and sometimes deeper meanings pretty much every time we read them. And indeed, every time I read such a story as this, I do find new ways of seeing it, new ways of learning, new ways of looking at things, giving myself permission to encounter something new in the text. And so to allow the text to encounter me opens up so many possibilities for learning and hopefully growing in my own spiritual journey. So perhaps I should wind this up by saying something of what does actually strike me within today's gospel passage, and a little of what other writers have said about this story of Jesus walking on water that we heard just a few minutes ago. Well, it's one of three versions of the story found in Matthew and John, as well as here in Mark that we heard today. In Matthew, it's tied up with Peter's ill-fated attempt to hop out of the boat and wander off to see Jesus. In John, it seems to be a part of Jesus fleeing the crowd who want to make him king against his will, putting as much land and water between himself and the expectations people hold of him between the two as possible. One atheist writer, Austin Kline, who writes very well about this passage on a website called Learn Religions, see, even I have to go and research stuff, really, says that this Markan version that we have here today is set up in such a way as to fill a gap in Jesus' resume. One of the marks of the many divine people around in first century Palestine was that they had to do certain miracles to earn their divine credentials. And water walking was one of them. Unless the story was in there somewhere, says Kline, other groups would say that their God-man was much more superior to the Jesus God-man and much more powerful and authentic than this Jesus person. Well, I get that, but I think there's more to it too. What stands out as I read this story is at the very beginning that Jesus needed rest and prayer at the very start of the story. He sends the disciples and then the crowd away and goes by himself. Now, perhaps it is because I'm about to kick off my own Sabbath time in a month from tomorrow, but that Jesus takes the time to go up the mountain, as the story says, seems to give him the spiritual energy to walk into the storm with which the disciples were struggling and bring them the peace they were unable to find. And for most of us, I think we could resonate with that need to find peace, to take time out, to resist the pressure to do all of the time. In recharging our physical, emotional, spiritual batteries like this, we are better equipped to weather the storms which our world is facing and to assist or equip others to do so too. That, for me, is a helpful way of seeing an old familiar story which speaks to where I am and where I believe our community is at this time. May the peace of Christ dwell in us richly. Amen.